as people leaders, it's really up to us to assume positive intent and to come into a space with curiosity to seek understanding and not necessarily define or ensure the assumption that we made was right.
Welcome to the Culture Builders Podcast. We interview people leaders about how they're building a culture that fosters employee growth. I'm your host, Cassie Ait, the founder and CEO here at Hopier. Okay, welcome to the Culture Builders Podcast. I'm here with Aaron Miller, who's the VP of People and Culture at Lulu Press. Welcome to the show, Aaron. How are you today?
Thank you so much. I'm doing well.
So why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. So grew up in Nebraska, and I started my career in sales. I studied business management, and then during my time at the Motley Fool, I kind of stumbled into the people field. And I like to say that I grew up at the Motley Fool. I was asked to join the team doing employee check-ins, and we quickly found that that was a really incredible experience to offer our employees. And so I became the director of people development and ran a coaching team along with a few of my colleagues. And then from there, I've stepped into leadership roles, really helping companies establish a people strategy that is aligned with business objectives.
So that's quite the change. So you started in sales, but can you walk us through that transition and also, you know, with the team around you to make that transition? Like, what was that like?
Absolutely. So I sold advertising for most of my early career. And when I was hired at the Motley Fool, I was focused on selling online advertising. And so I looked around and we had a lot of salespeople on our team. And I went to our chief people officer and told him, you know, I understand the direction of the business is changing. And I love the Motley Fool. I would love to stay on as a team member. You know, do you see any other areas where I might be able to contribute and have an impact? And he said, you know, it's funny you say that because people have been telling me that when they get in a pickle or they're not sure how to have a conversation, that they come to you and you give them, you know, you're a sounding board. You kind of walk them through how to approach something. And so the stars just kind of aligned. You know, I was proactive in speaking to the chief people officer, but they also established a need. And so I started doing employee check-ins. And after doing some of those employee check-ins, I realized that for each employee, you know, one, it's nice to be heard. And two, sometimes it's important to have someone else to talk to other than your manager. And what came of that was creating the coaching program. And, you know, again, the stars were aligned. We were also a pretty flat organization. And so we didn't have that traditional corporate ladder you could climb. So the coaching program really was put into place to help individuals on their career path develop new skills and also take some of that pressure off of the manager. You know, they're focused on their day-to-day metrics that they need to meet. And sometimes those career development conversations don't take as much precedence as they should. And so it just was a great, great timing for the business, great timing for me. And also they took a chance on me. They gave me some training. I went to Agile Coach certification, and it's all kind of history from there. But I would say being proactive, paying attention to what was going on in the business, but then also having a team around me that could see that potential in me and take a chance because I had never done it before.
And what did you find that your sales background helped at all?
Absolutely. So in sales, it's all about building relationships, building trust, and, you know, people buy from you when they know they can trust you and they feel like they're, you know, getting the best out of you. And that's very true in HR and the people function. You know, we are not successful unless people know that they can trust us and they know that we have a, you know, reasonable mindset and we want the best out of them. And so a lot of the scale, the sales, relationship building skills that I had, I transferred those into the people realm. And, you know, there's many times in HR where you're dealing with a change in a process or a system or a strategy, and really helping people see why they should get on board with that new strategy, or, you know, why they should try to work out that conflict that they have with that coworker to help them see the larger goal at the end of the tunnel. And it's true in sales, and it's true in a lot of the people work that I do.
So after you left Motley Fool, you continued to work down the path of people, culture, HR. Why? And what drives you?
Yeah, so goodness, I would say what drives me is, you know, I think I'm a natural cheerleader. I grew up with a lot of positive people around me who helped me power through challenges by looking for the silver lining. And just in life experience, I've always gotten more out of people when I'm supportive and empathetic and, you know, assuming positive intent and really seeing the best in people. And I continued down that path because I think, you know, every day when we come to work, we want to be seen as a human. We want to be valued. We want to be appreciated. And when things get busy and stressful in the office, it's hard to, you know, demand that from our colleagues or our managers. And I think that's why people strategy is so important. You know, we're really here to support the organization. And, you know, we don't make everyone happy, and it's impossible to make everyone happy. But when you can guide managers and individual contributors down a path where they are improving their skill set, they feel supported and valued and appreciated, productivity goes up, innovation goes up, you can scale a business faster when there's a lot of trust. And that gets me out of bed. That makes me feel so happy and so fulfilled when I can, you know, work with someone and see them, you know, start here and end here. And, you know, I help them power through those challenges. And really, it's the fulfillment of seeing someone else grow.
And so you joined Lulu Press 2 months ago. Oh, wow. Okay. So what's the culture like there, and why, and what led you to join Lulu Press?
Yeah. So Lulu is really interesting. We're an online open source book publishing company. And one of the main reasons, you know, I responded to their outreach was their mission. So their goal is to change the world one book at a time. And Bob Young, who is the founder of Lulu, he started this company back in 2002 because he was working on his own book, and he just did not have a great experience getting published. And it's because a lot of the large publishers, they only want to take contracts with a book that's going to be a number one New York Times bestseller. And he said, forget it, I'm going to start my own publishing company because I want anyone who has a story to be able to publish a book. And I think now more than ever, that mission really resonates with me because of everything that's happening in our country around social justice, around diversity and inclusion, and really giving anyone the platform to share their story is how all of us are going to continue to grow and evolve. Because my experience growing up in Nebraska and growing up in the United States is very different for someone who doesn't look like me. And I think it's really, really important that all voices are heard. And that just, again, warms my heart. It's about seeing someone grow, and it's about seeing someone who has a meaningful story be able to touch other people who can learn from their story.
That's powerful. And what's the organizational culture like there?
Yeah, so the organizational culture is really fun. I would say one thing that I noticed immediately about Lulu is they really cultivate individuals to be who they are. If you walk around the office, which you'll probably never walk around the office given what's going on, but you'll just see people's individual personalities are really apparent. And we, I think we just really nurture, you know, who are you as an individual? How do you want to show up to work? And how do we build an inclusive culture where everyone feels like they belong? And for me, you know, I never want to be somewhere where everyone looks the same or they're cookie cutter. Like, I want people who are into self-expression and able to do it in a way where they feel comfortable and feel, you know, that they're not being judged.
So when you were at Motley Fool, it grew like crazy over the 10 years you were there. So how do you make sure that people who oftentimes are becoming managers or leaders or, you know, growing as an individual contributor stay supported as the company grows that fast?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad you asked this question because there's an old HR metric that I hear often, and it's, you know, one HR person for every 50 employees. And some companies say one HR person for every 100 employees. And one thing that the Motley Fool does very well is ensures that their people team is a large team because they understand the amount of time it takes to support managers and individual contributors. So when I started at the Motley Fool in 2007, we were a little over 100 people. And when I left the Motley Fool, we were closer to about 350. And with 350 employees, our people team was about 20 people. And that is really, yeah, it's phenomenal. And when I tell people that, they're like, what are you thinking? But it's true. You know, a lot of the people work and the support that you have to provide is not something that you can automate. It's about building trust. It's about having meaningful conversations. And those things take time. And so really to ensure, you know, that you are supporting those individual contributors and those managers as you grow and scale, you need to put the right process and team in place that is operationally going to support them. And so, you know, for me, I think if budgets are tight, I would still say, you know, 1 to 2 HR professionals for every 50 employees. And, you know, there's a lot of tech startup companies who won't hire HR until they reach 100 people or 150. And I think that's a really bad way to go about it, because when you look at a company's budget, they spend the most money on salaries and they spend the most money on their people. So why wouldn't you spend the most money supporting those people? Because again, it goes back to when someone feels valued and appreciated and they're learning and developing their skill set, they're always going to perform at a higher level. They're going to be more productive and they're going to be more innovative.
It seems like you're pretty metrics driven. Are there any other metrics that you look at to measure success?
Absolutely. I look at all of the metrics. I am a big data-driven decision maker. I never want to come into an organization and make a guess or think, you know, one thing that worked at another company will work at this company. So, you know, with my first month at Lulu, I met with as many employees one-on-one as possible. And I also did a couple of focus groups. And then we'll be doing our first survey next week. And the idea is that I want to come into a space very curious. I want to hear, you know, what's going well, what isn't going well, and what's one or two things that could be going better from the employee's perspective. And then from there, I take the data from the individual meetings and the survey and look at, you know, where is the low-hanging fruit? What are a couple of things that we can quickly impact, and then what are the larger objectives that we need to improve? And, you know, right now at Lulu, one of the objectives that we've established is diversity and inclusion training. And that's really educating people on, you know, what does an inclusive culture look like? What are microaggressions? And also, how do we hold each other accountable in a empathetic and healthy way in order to maintain the type of culture that we want to have from now until, you know, going forward over the next few years. And, you know, I do pulse surveys, but really I'm very big on proactive check-ins.
And how do you scale those check-ins and make sure that you're able to check in? Because I think Lulu Press is about, what, 500 employees approximately now?
A little bit smaller than that. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So how do you manage doing those check-ins and having a pulse in other ways? Because as everyone knows, it's hard to get full participation on a survey.
Absolutely. So that's another metric that I look at. You know, I not only look at participation rate, but I also look at, you know, the company as a whole. And then I also go team by team and, you know, just paying attention to, you know, how many people are responding. And really, if you have an engaged culture, it doesn't mean that your scores are going to be off the charts. If you have an engaged culture, you are also going to be hearing what you're doing wrong. And I'm never afraid to hear that feedback because it shows these people trust us enough and they care enough to voice when things aren't going well. And so, again, when it comes back to data, you know, I look at participation rate, I look at, you know, the ENPS score for the company. And then I also look at, you know, there's the culture of the company, but then there's culture within each teams. And so doing regular surveys, you know, every 2 weeks, we can take a look at, okay, what teams are coasting and doing well, and what teams have we seen slip a little bit, and how can I, you know, go check in with that manager or better understand what's happening with the team. And again, that's why I always pair employee surveys with those check-ins.
I love that, how you talked about being curious.
Yeah.
And what kind of advice can you give to other people, leaders out there, to be curious and then to find creative ways to make sure that they're keeping their team engaged and feeling supportive?
Absolutely. So, you know, one of my favorite phrases is get curious, not furious. You know, as humans, I think we're quick to jump to conclusions. And so I learned this from Lee Burbidge, the chief people officer at The Motley Fool. You know, he really taught me how to come into a situation objectively and pay attention to any unconscious bias I might have. And when you go with a curious mindset and you assume positive intent, it's better for you because you can be more of an active listener and you're not working toward listening to things that will help you prove your assumption, but you're genuinely being curious. And I think, you know, as people leaders, it's really up to us to assume positive intent and to come into a space with curiosity to seek understanding and not necessarily, again, define or ensure the assumption that we made was right. And so I've really worked on, you know, not assuming and focusing on how can I better understand the situation. And the other thing is, you know, if there is something that happens, you talk to two or three people and then somewhere in the middle is the truth. And you have to look at, you know, what's their level in the company? What's their level of trust? You know, do they have role power because they're a VP? Do they not speak up because they're an individual contributor? There's all of these different things that happen in situations. And so I want to be curious about, you know, their level in the company, their ability to speak up. You know, if they're a manager, were they flexing their manager muscles and, you know, maybe shouldn't have been. But again, I just, I've always been a curious individual, and I think that's really served me well in people work because it allows me to ask a ton of questions and seek understanding versus try to be the smartest person in the room or try to be proven right.
And you mentioned trust, and I saw that you gave a presentation about the power of brazen trust. What is brazen trust?
Yeah, so brazen trust, the way I would define it is just really from day one, trusting someone and allowing them that support and safe space. And, you know, some people say you have to earn my trust, and, you know, trust is earned through small moments. But in an organization, if you assume positive intent and you trust your colleague and you trust that they're doing the best they can, you know, we're all humans. We are all going to mess up. We're all going to have bad days. But, you know, really, it's about trusting someone and allowing them to be the best version of themselves instead of assuming they don't care or assuming they're not their best. And that is, you know, again, the book that I brought up in that talk, Stephen Covey wrote the book, The Speed of Trust. And when you're able to trust everyone in the organization, you can move faster. And it's really important, but that is definitely something that's been a baseline for me.
So Aaron, we're going to move on to the quick fire round. So I've got a few questions for you, and just, you can just say the first thing that comes to mind and then we'll move on to the next question.
Okay.
So what is your favorite people and culture related resource?
Ooh, people and related. Oh, I would have to say the Work Human blog. Work Human used to be Globoforce a few years back, and I blogged for them for about 5 years. And they are an incredible company. They've got a software platform where it's about appreciation across the organization. So, you know, they definitely have a product to sell. But for me, the thought leaders and the people that they gather around the table to teach the progressive forward people strategy is second to none. I really love them as a resource.
And which people leader would you most like to take for lunch?
Oh my gosh, that is a great one. I would probably say Candace Morgan. She is the diversity leader at Pinterest. And I think she's, you know, I heard her speak at a conference a few years back, and I just love her approach. I think it's very direct and kind. And what she's been able to do at Pinterest has been incredible, because not only has she improved diversity and inclusion within the organization, but she's also done it in a tremendous way on their platform.
Single piece of advice you would give to new people leaders?
Oh, let's see here. That's my get curious, not furious.
And Aaron, what is your favorite team building activity?
Favorite team building activity. Do you know what? So it's going to be hard to explain, but so at the Motley Fool, we had a chief puzzle officer, and his full-time job was just creating puzzles as team building events. And one event that he had is, oh, it's going to be hard to describe, but you get into small teams and you have to pair all of these different words. And at the end of the game, you have to build a shape. And I can't give away the secret, but one of my favorite team building activities was one that was homegrown at the Motley Fool.
Aaron, what do you do when you're not leading people?
Oh, goodness. When I am not leading people, I am typically reading about how to lead people. I love reading. I read a lot of philosophy books and a lot of self-help books. I'm also raising a 7-year-old boy and an almost 4-year-old girl. And so I'm also just enjoying seeing the world through their eyes.
Well, Erin, thanks so much for joining us on the Culture Builders podcast. Is there a way that our listeners can follow you?
Absolutely. So I'm on LinkedIn as Erin Core Miller, and I'm also on Twitter. My Twitter handle is This Tweety, and I feel very clever with that Twitter handle, but the origination of that Twitter handle was my grandma when I was born. She called me Tweety Bird, and so it's a near and dear name.
Love it. All right. Well, Erin, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Take care.
And that was the Culture Builders podcast. To find out more about Hopier and how we help people leaders build a culture of growth and recognition, visit hopier.com. And then make sure to check out Culture Builders in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. And make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. On behalf of the team here at Hopier, thanks for listening.